I'll read this morning here from the 23rd Psalm. It's always been a favorite chapter in the Bible for me. One of the first verses of the Bible that was made known to my heart. Psalm 23 says, The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And you could say a whole lot about that, couldn't you? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, if that's all we got here this morning, we got enough. Over here again, in this 31st Psalm, this has come to my attention. Verse 1 in Psalm 31. It says, In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. And deliver me in Thy righteousness. Not in my righteousness, but in His righteousness. Bow down Thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be Thou my strong rock, for the house of defense to save me. For Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Thank You, merciful, loving Father in heaven. Thank You for Your grace, and thank You for Your mercy. Thank You, Father, that You're our everlasting God and our shepherd to keep us safe. We bless and praise You for Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Bless the Word to our heart and to our understanding, and bless this congregation this morning, Father, as our shepherd tells us more about the great shepherd of the sheep, our Lord Jesus the Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.
Turn with me to Proverbs 2. Proverbs chapter 2. As a believer contemplates the mercy of God to him, as he thinks on it, these scriptures that Brother Scott just read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'll have no lack. He makes me to lie down, makes me to settle down. I'm not trying to establish anything before God, recipient of His mercy. Surely goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You know, as a believer contemplates those things, thinks on them, he finds great joy and peace in that the Lord would reveal Himself to him. He thinks, "Lord, You're so wonderful to teach me of myself and to teach me of You. Thank You. Thank You that I even stand here and that I'm able to contemplate the unsearchable riches of Your grace, to even think on that. Lord, don't pass me by." Disciples saw Him out on the water that night, and it said it appeared that He would pass them by, and He cried out. That's the way a believer is. Lord, a believer says things like, "Take not Thy Spirit away from me." David said that concerning his desire. "Lord, make your presence to be intimate to me. Lord, cause me to be able to enter in to just a keen fellowship." You know, isn't it good when two friends can talk together and fellowship, you know, one-on-one? A believer desires that. It's not just a kind of a dry, empty speech. A believer truly wants to speak to the Lord. He wants to know Him. That's what Paul said. "Oh, that I might know Him." Don't you find that desire? In the passage today, I'm going to look at Proverbs 2, verses 6 to 8. There's three things, three glorious truths that bring honor and praise and dignity to our blessed Savior. Here's the first one. God Almighty must be just in salvation. Now this we know this. Lord, for my salvation, I truly desire that my sin has truly been put away. When He said, "I'll cast it as far as the east is from the west, I'll remember it no more," it is the greatest comfort my soul to know that God has put away my guilt and has done it justly and has put away, that He satisfied Himself. God must be just. And I know that this is going to be only accomplished in my federal head. I know that for me to go free, one had to die as me. Not merely die with my sin and bear the penalty, though He did. I'm talking about one had to become me and die as my substitute. He had to be me, made sin. That's the summation of me. He hath made him sin. God must be just in salvation. Now, when you contemplate that man, as all men, have come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. When I know that the soul that sinneth is going to die. When I know that there's none righteous, no, not one. Not man's born in Adam. When I know that no man can come unto him except the Father which has sent him. Draw that man. So the great question is, when it comes to God's justice, this is what I know. This is the first point. God must be just in salvation. So the great question when it comes to salvation, God's elect, is how can man be justified with God? How can a man not have sin charged to his account? I mean, if I've sinned, how can God be just and not charge me? How? How can a man be clean? That man which is born of woman. How? Well, here's the answer. Here's the answer to that first question, that God is just. Here it is. Proverbs 2, verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. The Lord giveth wisdom. The capital L, capital O, capital R, Jehovah giveth wisdom. How can God be just? Here's how it is. The Lord gives wisdom. The Lord gives Christ with the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:24, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So when it says here, the Lord giveth wisdom, you just write this down. That word wisdom right there, that's Christ. The wisdom of God. The infinite wisdom. Doth not wisdom cry? Blessed is the man that heareth me. I was ever before him. I came up with him. I was ever his delight. Wisdom. How can God be just and justify this sinner? He giveth wisdom. God so loved the world, the order, the arrangement, that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave wisdom. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. How can God be just in the salvation of His people? He gives wisdom. Sent wisdom. Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. God Almighty gave His only begotten Son. God gave Himself. God gave Himself. The Word made flesh as the surety. I'll make good. That's what it means. That's surety. You know what surety means. I'll make good on this everlasting covenant. How can God be just? God, the Lord, Jehovah, giveth wisdom. The obedient servant who earned the righteousness as a man. That righteousness imputed to everyone that Almighty God is going to call out of darkness, that's going to believe Him. Everyone that believes. You write this down. They're robed in the righteousness of wisdom Himself. How can God be just? He's going to send wisdom. The Lord giveth wisdom. And He's going to deal with Himself. God will deal with Himself. God Almighty will deal with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this concerning wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. That word knowledge right there, it means to know by experience. To know by experience. The Lord giveth wisdom. He sends Christ. And when He speaks, Christ Himself speaks. He has come into this world, and all that He has to say concerning His work, His obedience, everything that He has to say has to do with that which He has by experience known. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge, to know by experience. Hebrews 5:8 says, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. That is, yet He experienced everything as a man. He experienced them. Somebody calls somebody up and got a question. Do you know who you want to talk to? You want to talk to somebody that's been there. You want to talk to somebody that's experienced something. I don't want to talk to somebody that has never walked in a path that I've got a question about. I want to talk to somebody that knows what they're talking about. And I'm telling you, you only know what you've experienced. Somebody may say, well, I know how you feel. Well, not, if you hadn't been there, you don't. No, you don't know how I feel. No, you don't know what I've experienced because you've never been there. When wisdom Himself speaks, He speaks from experience. We have a great high priest. And I tell you this, he's been touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's experienced as a man. He knows. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge, experience. Out of His mouth cometh understanding, discretion, ability in the great work of redemption. Psalm 147:5 says, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord said concerning Himself and His Father, John 10:15, as the Father knoweth me, understands me. Even so understand I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I know the Father. I know His demand. I know His expectation. I know Him and He knows me. Out of His mouth, knowledge and understanding. So for God Almighty to be just in the salvation of His people, the Lord giveth wisdom. He sent His Son into this world to put away my guilt. He sent His Son into this world, and He, by experience, He must learn by experience for Him to truly be my surety. Man disobeyed God. Man must obey God. Man must lay down his life in exchange for man. Man, he must learn. Came to this world born of a woman. And I'm telling you, he was in subjection as in his human nature. As Brother Scott has so truthfully said, he as much man as if he were not God. And God as if he were not man. Totally man, totally. And I'm telling you, when he came up in that house there under Mary and Joseph, when they told him as their parents. This is what I want. This is, he was in subjection to his parents. He came up and he learned by experience. And he that learned by experience, that experienced what it was to go through what his people go through, that was our substitute. The Word made flesh. So here's the first thing. God is just and salvation. Here's the second thing. Almighty God has shown mercy. God has shown mercy. He said to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. Mercy. Mercy, simply speaking, is God sending the Lord Jesus Christ, the mercy of God. He is the mercy of God. I mean, if you stop and think, whenever God says, I'll have mercy, I mean, it comes right down to this. There he is. That's him. Psalm 85:7, show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Show us Christ. That's what I want to see. I want to behold the mercy of God this morning. It's in him. It is him. How does God show mercy? That's the second point. God has shown mercy. How? Well, here's verse 7. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. And he's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. How does God show mercy? He layeth up sound wisdom. That is, he hides. This is what it means to lay up sound wisdom. He hides, reserves, or hoards in a secret place all that is needful for the righteous. My God shall supply all your need. How does God show mercy? He lays up in sound wisdom. That is the abiding success. That's what that means. Sound wisdom. Abiding. Let me ask you this. How much do you think will ever pass away concerning the obedience of Christ? None. Almighty God has laid up in Christ, reserve, that's what it means. He lays up. How does God show mercy? He's laid up all that is needful for the eternal and glorious salvation of God's people is laid up in the success of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly what that passage means. How does God show mercy? David said, Psalm 31:19, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Oh, how wonderful is your goodness that you've laid up as heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Believers possess an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Where is our salvation? It's in Christ. You know that. Laid up, reserved, kept, incorruptible, undefiled. God's going to show mercy. God's going to be just. He's going to show mercy. How's He going to show mercy? He's laid up, reserved, all that the Lord Jesus Christ has ever done. If there are yet those yet to be born who are the objects of His mercy, children that have yet to be born, if God tarries, I'm telling you, those who have yet to be born, objects of God's electing grace, I'm telling you right now, God's mercy is laid up for them in heaven, incorruptible, undefiled. You said that was a future. Friend, you and I were in the future. Laid up. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. The shield, the protector, the defense of those who have been made to walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. God's going to show mercy. Everything that they need before Almighty God, accepted in the Beloved, Christ is supplied. And it's laid up. It's kept. It's kept. It's kept. Thanks be unto God that He didn't leave it up to me. I'm telling you, when Noah and his family got in that ark, when God's judgment, the rain fell on that ark was a buckler unto Noah and his family and all that was in there. A buckler. That's what it means. He layeth up sound wisdom. He's laid it up and reserved it and kept it. All that Christ has accomplished. He's laid up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler. He's a shield. He's a protector. He's a coverer. He's an atonement. He's for all that walk uprightly. God has satisfied Himself justly by giving wisdom. He's shown mercy to His people by laying up sound wisdom, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the righteous, providing all of their need. And thirdly and lastly, God Almighty, this is the last truth, shall keep His own to the end. Verse 8, He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints. He watches over, guards. He guards His people in this life. When I think back, I've mentioned every once in a while that I was on the rebellious side. I think my mother would probably attest to that. It's nothing to be proud of. I'm telling you, that is nothing to be proud of. When I think back of how Almighty God kept me, how many times I can think back. I can think back on things that I did that, honestly, it wouldn't have surprised me if I would have been killed. I can think of incidents right now that only for the sustaining grace of God, that I wasn't in one of them in particular, in an automobile accident, that I was supposed to be in the car, and I mean at the last minute, just providentially, I didn't get in that car. And three boys left that night, and police got after them. It was on MacArthur Drive there in Alexandria. Had a friend of mine that was killed that night, Scotty McCann. You remember that moment Scotty McCann got killed? I was supposed to be in the car that night. And I didn't go right at the last minute. And I think but for the grace of God, I'd have been out of this world without hope, without a substitute. God Almighty is going to keep His own, preserves them. His judgment has been to show them mercy. He's put away their guilt by the blood of Christ, imputed to them the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, and He will keep their path. That He keepeth the paths of judgment. When He said, before the foundation of the world, I'm going to show mercy and compassion. To Marvin Stoniker. And I'm telling you, he kept me by his grace and sustained me by his mercy and would not let me perish. Preserveth, hedges about their journey through this world. David said in Psalm 119:105, Thy word, a lamp unto my feet, light to my path. By him, we shall be, all of those that he's everlastingly loved, we're going to be kept. And he said, Father, all that you've given me, I'm not going to lose any of them. Almighty God is going to be just in salvation. He's going to show mercy. He's going to show mercy. And he's going to keep all that he's kept, all that he's saved, all that he's loved. And he's going to do it for Christ's sake. To him, honor and glory.